Stotranamujati. Dehi nosmin yata dehe. Kaumaram jovanam jara. Tata dehantara praptir. Dirastatranamujati. Behinosmin yata dehe. Dhirastatranamujati. Dhirastatranamujati. Dehinosmin yata dehe. Kaumaram jovanam jara. Tata dehantara praptir. Dhirastatranamujati. Would you like to try? Would you like to try? Your Dehinosmin yata dehe. Kaumaram jovanam jara. Tata dehantara praptir. Dhirastatranamujati. Dehinaha. Of the embodied. Asmin. In this. Yata. As. Dehe. In the body. Kaumaram. Boyhood. Yovanam. Youth. Jara. Old age. Tata. Similarly. Deha antara. Of transference of the body. Praptihi. Achievement. Dhiraha. The sober. Tatra. Thereupon. Na. Never. Mujati. Is deluded. Translation. As the embodied soul continuously passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. A sober person is not bewildered by such a change. Purport. Since every living entity is an individual soul, each is changing his body every moment, manifesting sometimes as a child, sometimes as a youth, and sometimes as an old man. Yet the same spirit soul is there and does not undergo any change. This individual soul finally changes the body at death and transmigrates to another body. And since it is sure to have another body in the next birth, either material or spiritual, there was no cause for lamentation by Arjuna on account of death, neither for Bhishma, neither for Drona, for whom he was so much concerned. Rather, he should rejoice for their changing bodies from old to new ones, thereby rejuvenating their energy. Such changes of body account for varieties of enjoyment or suffering, according to one's work in life. So Bhishma and Drona, being noble souls, were surely going to have spiritual bodies in the next life, or at least live in heavenly bodies for superior enjoyment of material existence. So, in either case, there was no cause of lamentation. Any man who has perfect knowledge of the constitution of the individual soul, the supersoul, and nature, both material and spiritual, is called a dhira, or a most sober man. Such a man is never deluded by the change of bodies. The Mayavadi theory of oneness of the spirit soul cannot be entertained on the ground that the spirit soul cannot be cut into pieces as a fragmental portion. Such cutting into different individual souls would make the supreme cleavable or changeable against the principle of the Supreme Souls being unchangeable. As confirmed in the Gita, the fragmental portions of the Supreme exist eternally, sanhatan, and are called kshara, that is, they have a tendency to fall down into material nature. These fragmental portions are eternally so, and even after liberation, the individual soul remains the same, fragmental. But once liberated, he lives an eternal life in bliss and knowledge with the personality of Godhead. The theory of reflection can be applied to the supersoul who is present in each and every individual body and is known as the Paramatma. He is different from the individual living entity. When the sky is reflected in water, the reflections represent both the sun and the moon and the stars also. The stars can be compared to the living entities and the sun or the moon to the Supreme Lord. The individual fragmental spirit soul is represented by Arjuna, and the Supreme Soul is the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. They are not on the same level, as it will be apparent in the beginning of the fourth chapter. If Arjuna is on the same level with Krishna, and Krishna is not superior to Arjuna, then their relationship of instructor and instructed becomes meaningless. If both of them are deluded by the illusory energy, Maya, then there is no need of one being the instructor and the other the instructed. Such instruction would be useless because in the clutches of Maya, no one can be an authoritative instructor. Under the circumstances, it is admitted that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Lord, superior in position to the living entity Arjuna, who is a forgetful soul deluded by Maya. Om agyanati mrandasya gananjana salakaya chakshur militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobistang stapitang yena bhutile svayam rupa kadama yang dadati sva padantikang vandeham shri guru shri yutha padakamalang shri gurun vaishnavangscha shri rupang sagrajatam sagana raghunatam vitam tang sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dino Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Vrishabhanu Sutadevri Pranamami Haripriye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha, kripa sandubhyayavacha, patithanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadhadar Srivasadi Ghorabhaktavrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Dehinusmin yatha dehe, kaumaram jauvanam jara, Tatha dehantara praptir dhiras tatra namujati. So this is one of the most important verses of Bhagavad Gita, and is the beginning of spiritual life. It's practically the first instruction that Lord Krishna gives to Arjuna. We are now, this is the third verse that Krishna is speaking, and it is a very important example that Krishna is giving here. I have to admit that in the beginning when I came to Krishna consciousness, I couldn't really grasp this verse, although I had a pretty good idea or realization that the soul was eternal and that I was not this body. Still, when I read this verse, and still to some extent, because if we fully realize this verse, then we fully realize that we're not the body. So to fully realize it is a tall order, as they say in America. But at least my realization then was a little less than it is now. And I'll try to explain it a little bit. So the idea is that we are the soul. We are not the body. The soul is who we actually are. And that is what Krishna is speaking about. He says, Dehinaha, of the embodied. As the embodied soul continuously passes in this body. So the idea is that the soul is Krishna is giving the example that it's passing through this body from Kaumaram to Jauvanam to Jara. From as a kid, Kaumaram, to a Jauvanam, to a youth, to Jara, to an old man. And what was confusing to me, especially when Prabhupada said in the purport, he said, the same spirit soul is there and does not undergo any change. And then I was thinking, but I'm changing. I'm learning French. I'm learning mathematics. I'm learning so many things. You know, I couldn't speak, and now I can speak, and I have different realizations. So like that, I thought, I'm changing. Of course, this is also, we have to be a little bit aware of that. This is also incited, poisoned by this so-called evolution theory, where this is like the Western theory is spread all over the world nowadays, that we come from a monkey, and that the monkey has evolved to a horse, or that the horse has evolved to a monkey, and the monkey has evolved to a man, like that. Of course, they're still looking for the so-called missing link, that specific body that will link from the monkey to the man, that still they have not really found it. Sometimes they say, yes, this is it, the missing link. But it's not conclusive. According to Vedic information, we cannot accept this theory, because as far as I understand, it's still a theory, although now people talk about it like it's a fact or it's an accepted theory. But as far as I know, it's still a theory. And the Vedas explain there's actually different kinds of evidence. One kind of evidence is empirical evidence through the senses, and another kind of evidence is through hearing. And the Vedas, they hold that kind of evidence in a higher esteem. And Prabhupada gives a very simple example. He says that if you want to know who is your father, then you have to ask basically one person who really knows. And that person is your mother. Like, for instance, if you want to know something specifically about your father, you know, how did he act when he was young? How did he look? Did he had any other girlfriends before that? Or whatever. Then generally, only your mother will know these things. So you have to ask her these things in order to know. And the Vedas are compared to the mother. So if you want to know about Krishna, our father, our spiritual father, then we have to read the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, which are, with the Srimad Bhagavatam is like the commentary of Vedanta Sutra. It is the commentary given by Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva is the author of all the Vedas, and it's like a natural commentary. It's not really an official commentary. We also have that, actually. That is why this Bhagavad Gita is dedicated to Baladev Vidyabhushan. You can see it in the beginning. And he actually wrote this Govinda Bhash, that is the official commentary on Vedanta philosophy. But that was actually, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it was not necessary. But because in those days, the Vaishnava community, they were challenged that you don't have a Bhash on the... And you don't have a commentary on the Vedanta, so therefore we cannot really accept you as bona fide. So therefore, Baladev Vidyabhushana, he wrote this Govinda Bhash. But the natural commentary is the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is written by Vyasadeva on the whole Vedanta philosophy. Veda means knowledge, Anta means end. So you have the Vedanta, the end of all knowledge, and then you have the... It's actually called the cream of the crop. It's like the ultimate commentary on all of the Vedas, which is Srimad Bhagavatam. And then this is like a summary of all the Vedas, Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes it's called the ABC, and of course that is correct, it is the ABC. But like ABC, you always use it. Like This Prabhupada says we should notice Bhagavad Gita as a law book, like in a, if you go to court, then the lawyer, if he's really good, he knows the law from A to Z and he can quote from it, and this is how he defeats the other party. So similarly, we should also notice Bhagavad Gita by heart, and specifically this verse. So I was trying to explain that the soul, Prabhupada says, he doesn't change, but what Prabhupada is explaining, that he doesn't change like the body is changing. Because the way it is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam is that actually we were with Krishna and we fell down from the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, everything is Satchit Ananda. Everything is eternal, full of bliss and full of knowledge. And somehow or other, we got some selfish desire that we wanted to enjoy separately from Krishna, and therefore Krishna fulfilled the desire and put us in this material world, which is also called Durga, and is like a prison house. Dur means difficult, and Ga means go. It's very difficult to get out. It will be explained later in the Bhagavad Gita that Bhumir, Apo, Nalo, Vayu, Kam, Mano, Budhir, Ahankara, that there's 8 elements, and that is the body is consisting of those 8 elements, but it's also explained in Srimad Bhagavatam that these 8 elements are also covering this universe. And each layer is 10 times bigger than the next layer. So it's like an amazingly guarded prison house, and you cannot really get out by yourself. It's almost impossible. And to go to Krishna Loka, you can only get there by the mercy of Krishna or his devotee. And therefore we have to, that is explained at the end of this purport, therefore we have to take knowledge from the perfect person, which is Krishna. So I might have so many mistakes, but because I'm repeating the words of the perfect person, therefore what I say is perfect. That is the idea. And if we try to repeat the words of some imperfect person, like for instance Charles Darwin, then what we say will be imperfect. So that is the evidence that is given in the Vedas, that you have to take knowledge from the perfect person, and then your knowledge is perfect. And if you take knowledge from the senses, then your knowledge is imperfect. So that we should thoroughly understand how important this hearing is. Like, we can sometimes hear some bad news, like this person has died, and it can completely destroy our whole day, our whole life even. This happened to what was it, Dronacharya, right? He heard that his son, that his son had died, and he was finished. So this hearing is so powerful. So another principle that you sometimes hear in spiritual circles is, don't trust what you see, but trust what you know. So this is more powerful, because ultimately you see by what you know. It's called jnana chakshu. You have to look through the eyes of knowledge. And that is what is described here. Dhirastatra namujati. The dhira, or sometimes it's called stita dhir muni, he is not confused by this changing of bodies. So the idea is that we have to take knowledge from Krishna. Like this Bhagavad Gita, it doesn't say Krishna uvacha. Everything it's saying, Dhritarashtra uvacha, Sanjaya uvacha, Arjuna uvacha, but it doesn't say Krishna uvacha, it says Bhagavan uvacha. So Bhagavan means those who possesses all opulences in full. There are 6 opulences: all wealth, all wisdom, all power, all renunciation, like that. And Krishna, when he was on this planet, he exhibited those opulences in full. And nobody can be better. Prabhupada says, if you know anybody better than Krishna, then please tell us immediately, then we will worship him, and then we will leave Krishna for wherever he is. But until that time, we will simply worship Krishna. And it's a fact. If you think about it, when I first heard about Krishna, he is a blue boy, he has an eternal body, Satchit Ananda Vigra, He basically has unlimited girlfriends, and he is playing the whole day. So if you think about it, then nobody can enjoy more and better than Krishna. It's even in your mind you cannot imagine anything better. And then if you read Krishna book, he's killing so many demons, he's having 16,108 palaces, he expands himself into 16,108 Krishnas. It's completely amazing, completely perfect. So therefore, because Krishna is the supreme perfect, he is the, as Prabhupada says, supreme personality of Godhead, therefore we accept everything that Krishna says. And here he gives this perfect example, Kamaram Jovanam Jara. So as the soul goes from kid to youth to old age, Tata Deya Antar Praptir. Praptir means to obtain, or here explained as achieved. So Deya Antar. Antar means other, and Deya means body. When he Praptir, when he obtains another body, then the Dhira, he will not be confused by this. But what Krishna is saying, you are all the time obtaining another body. Like I used to be a baby, I had different teeth. Like I'm a man, my voice has gone more low. The voice is completely different. So many hairs growing, body has grown. So many differences. Practically, it is another body. And now here is the intricate point, which in the beginning I couldn't really understand. The person inside, although he might have changed, because that's what I was trying to explain, although in one sense we say the soul is unchangeable, and it's factually actually Krishna conscious, but it's covered by these different layers, specifically mind, intelligence, and false ego. Intelligence is confused, the mind doesn't know what to do, and the ego thinks that I am the enjoyer. So this is kind of coverings of polluted consciousness. And when that clears up, then we can see the soul, who it really is. So that, in fact, is changing. And there's different things explained, different consciousness explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Like you have the consciousness of just eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. It's called anamaya, just concerned about grains, about eating. This is the animal life. So if we are simply focused on those four things, eating, sleeping, we eat, then we sleep, then we have sex life, and then we need a house for children, and we defend our house. So eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Prabhupada says this is simply polished animal life. If we don't use this life to solve the problem, and the problem is how not to get another life. Prabhupada says the greatest danger of human life is to get a cat or a dog body, or worse, pig body, insect body, tree body. This is the greatest danger in life. And we should try to avoid that. And that Prabhupada explains that even if they don't obtain a spiritual body, at least Drona and Bhishma, they can get a demigod body, a heavenly body. This is another important point of the Vedic philosophy, but I don't think we should too much dwell on that. But that there is a heavenly planet, and that is like higher planetary systems. We are living in the middle, and then you have lower. But outside of that, this is sometimes where people get confused. They think that they can go to heaven and enjoy. But this is still within the universe. Outside of this universe, that is where the spiritual world is. Or as the Christians call it, the kingdom of God. And that is completely spiritual. And there everybody is serving God, serving Krishna. And that is actually the only solution if you don't want to obtain another body. So the idea is that consciousness can change. Although in the absolute sense the soul doesn't change, because it's covered, we can kind of peel off the coverings. So in that sense, it is changing. But the person who is changing, that is the same person. So that is the point. So the body is changing, it goes from boyhood to youth to old age. That body is changing, but the person who is inside the body, although he might be changing his consciousness, or in other words, his consciousness might be more and more uncovered, less conditioned, that person who becomes less conditioned is the same person. So that is what Prabhupada is explaining in the purport, and that is ultimately what Krishna is explaining, that the soul is not changing. The person, because that is who we are, the person who is inside the body, that is the same person. Prabhupada sometimes also gives the example, you look into the mirror and you look at that person, and the person has a specific body. Like, I have this body and then I have these clothes. So the clothes, they fit the body. So similarly, the body fits the consciousness of the mind. And the mind fits the consciousness of the soul, kind of. That is, it is a little bit intricate, but that is more or less how it works. And so ultimately, it's all about the mind. Manmana, says Krishna, you please, you think of me, you become my devotee, you bow down to me, you worship me. And manmana. So Krishna, he's saying, simply you think of me, and by thinking of me, you can change that consciousness. So that person who is changing his consciousness, that is the same person. You look into the mirror, and you're looking at that body, at these clothes, because that is another example that Krishna gives later, it's like changing clothes. That, if you look in the mirror, that is the same person. Somebody is looking back at you. And there is somebody inside. Like Prabhupada, he went to a school, and he asked, he said, who's the most smart? And one boy stepped forward, and Prabhupada said, whose leg is this? He said, it's my leg. And whose arm is this? It's my leg. And whose nose is this? It's my nose. And whose head is this? And he said, and who are you? And then he didn't know. So the thing is, who is the person that is saying, my leg, my arm, my head? That is who we really are. That is the soul. And that soul, that is called the jiva, the living entity, that is going from one body to the other. And that is that entity that is looking back through the mirror. Prabhupada explaining that the soul is sitting in the heart, is explained in Bhagavatam, and the consciousness is spread throughout the body. And like if we sleep, for instance, then there is practically no consciousness, because then the consciousness goes somewhere else. So it's all about the consciousness. Or sometimes we sit very long on a foot, and then we don't feel the foot anymore because the blood stops flowing and we cannot feel it anymore because the consciousness is not there anymore. So it's the consciousness. Prabhupada says life comes from life. There is, because this is another fallacy that these scientists, so-called scientists, say. They say that life comes from matter. Because that's before the Darwin theory, or not really before, but after actually it came. But it's based on this, on I mean, the evolution theory sort of fits into that. That there was a big bang, and then you had so many molecules, and like that, it gradually grew. So in other words, they say, from matter, gradually life evolved. But there is no proof for that either. Like they say, we're going to create life from matter. But all they do, really, is to manipulate, specifically genetic manipulation. And this is nothing to do with making life from matter, because the life is already inside of the genes. So Prabhupada says they cannot even make a blade of grass. And any scientist knows a blade of grass is so complicated how it's functioning. Similarly, Prabhupada said, like make a chicken from an egg. We give you the ingredients, we give you the egg, now you make a chicken. So the thing is, the chicken will only come out of the egg if the living entity is inside. Otherwise it will not grow. This is another fallacy. This is why they kill so many unborn babies, called abortion. Because they say it's not yet alive. But as soon as... actually, it's all the time alive. It's explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam that the soul enters the womb through the semen. So all the time there is life. The living entity is there, and as soon as it hits the egg, then it starts to grow. And then there is different stages, but all the time it's factually alive. In fact, I think there was recently a picture, and it was like a very young fetus, few weeks old, and they were doing an operation. And this fetus was grabbing the doctor's finger. And they were amazed because they couldn't believe that this fetus was already so conscious, and the doctor felt he was completely emotional and crying after that, because he really felt that this person was like begging for his life and that he really saved his life. But they were very amazed. We are not amazed to hear these things, but for the materialists, they were completely amazed because they don't understand it, that, you know, life comes from life. So anyway, we have to really thoroughly understand it, that the soul, it's in the heart, and that the body is simply moving. The proof is already there. The reincarnation is happening right in front of our eyes. If I get very old and you meet me in 30, 40 years, my body will again have changed. My hair probably will be completely gray, maybe no more hair, voice will be changed, maybe no more teeth, maybe I'm going to miss some body parts. So many things will have changed. But the person inside will still be the same, although maybe my consciousness might be a little bit less covered, will be the same person. So that is the example that is given here by Krishna. And that it took me some time to fully realize it, because I thought, well, what does he mean? It's not changing, I'm changing. But I think I've explained it a little bit. What's the time now? So is there any questions or comments? So I'll read a little more. Since every living entity is an individual soul, each is changing his body every moment, manifesting sometimes as a child, sometimes as a youth, and sometimes as an old man. Yet the same spirit soul is there and does not undergo any change. This individual soul finally changes the body at death and transmigrates to another body. And since it is sure to have another body in the next birth, either material or spiritual, there was no cause for lamentation by Arjuna on account of death, neither for Bhishma nor for Drona, for whom he was so much concerned. Yeah, so Krishna is here preaching to Arjuna that you shouldn't be worried about all these soldiers dying, because Arjuna was worried about that. He said, you know, better I become a beggar, because I don't want to kill men like Bhishma and Drona. Rather, you should rejoice for their changing bodies from old to new ones, thereby rejuvenating their energy. Such changes of body account for varieties of enjoyment or suffering, according to one's work in life. So Bhishma and Drona, being noble souls, were surely going to have spiritual bodies in the next life, or at least live in heavenly bodies for superior enjoyment of material existence. So in either case, there was no cause of lamentation. Yes.
It is said in Vedic and Gita that the boy was finding out, this is my leg, this is my hand, but who am I? I don't know. So you will not know, means there is a study to find out who am I, and once you start studying it, there was one person called Nachiketa. He asked Yama, who am I and what is after death? So finally, the answer was the soul will meet Brahma. So it will get involved in Brahma. Brahma is the super soul, and in this, it will get diluted.
That's what you wanted to say. That's exactly what Prabhupada is saying, that it cannot be happening, because he says the soul cannot be changed.
It
cannot be diluted.
It will not change. Finally,
no, you said diluted.
Not diluted. It will get,
that's what you wanted to say.
No. It will get.
What's the word? You think of a word quickly.
It is not possible.
It's not possible, Prabhu.
For me, just now, it is not possible to find.
No, it's not possible. The soul, it cannot be diluted. It cannot be burnt. It will be explained later by Krishna. And it cannot become like you explained, become one of Brahman.
Yeah, it will be. No, it's part of Brahma, and it will be a part of Brahma.
No, it's not. It's not explained like that. No.
Soul is Brahma.
Please understand, It's not completely wrong, although in one sense it's wrong that it doesn't become, like you wanted to say, diluted.
Not diluted.
Well, but that's what you wanted to say. Let me just focus on this diluted. The idea is, there is three realizations of God. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan. So you're talking about Brahman. So the idea is that the soul can become part of that light, Brahman light. But this is first God realization, or actually third class, you could say third class God realization, is the beginning. Everything is spiritual. And that is explained to some extent by Krishna. Therefore, this is preliminary study. Graduate study is Srimad Bhagavatam, and then postgraduate is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So that is Brahman, that the soul can become rid of this subtle body and enter this spiritual world where it becomes, it's called spiritual suicide, because there is no relationship. He'll just become this tiny piece of consciousness, Satchit, and it just is floating in this spiritual world, outside of this universe, in the spirit. But then there is another realization called Paramatma, which is that you realize that there is a super soul. And then what we are interested in here is in Bhagavan. And Bhagavan, like I explained, is Krishna. I explained to you today, Ishvara Parama Krishna. Krishna is the Param Ishvara. He is Bhagavan. And that is why we worship Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. So, I would again urge you to please you study Srimad Bhagavatam, because this verse is from there. Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan Iti Sabyate. And it's completely explained, these things. But in the beginning, then we have this preliminary vision, everything is spiritual, but it has to go further. Like Paramatma realization, that there is a super soul localized in every atom, and then that super soul, it can be everywhere, but then also he is a person, Krishna. And it's a little bit difficult to understand in the beginning, but once you read more and more, it will become clear. Anyway, I'm very sorry, we have to stop now, because now we have bhajans for Sisi Radha Gopinath, and I think Gaur, he will lead us. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada ki jai.